In today's show, I talk with Randy Harris, the superintendent. So it's really a special treat to learn from somebody with so much experience leading in education. You're going to love so much of what he says. Trust that built through fires, why he left sales to return to school leadership, how he guards against making decisions too quickly, and the questions you need to ask at the end to do a thorough job. He also really talks about the importance of mentorship. And so this is just going to be a strong call to action. And I want you to click the link to sign up for a time to talk to me about if a school mastermind is right for you. I run two groups, Tuesday night, Thursday night. Right now, as we record, Tuesday night is open from 8 to 9. I have a few spots open. And if you think that it would be right for you, let's chat about it and see if we can get you in there. It would be an honor to work with you. And like I always say, listen, it is not taken for granted that you listen to this show. Thank you so much and have fun listening.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Well, Better Leaders, I'm excited today to bring to you Randy Harris, who is a superintendent of Huntington County Community School Corporation in Huntington, Indiana. Prior to being this, he was a superintendent of Eastern Hancock Schools for 6.5 years. Randy started a traditional educational career by teaching and coaching for 5 years before moving into secondary administration, where he stayed for 9 years. Then his career took a turn. He spent 14 years in private business. For 8 years, he traveled the country in sales, marketing, and training with school technology while working for the Duquesne Corporation headquartered in St. Charles, Illinois. He then joined a small business of selling school furniture in Indiana. Finally, in 2009, Randy returned to school administration. Randy's educational background includes a bachelor's in social studies and secondary education from Oral Roberts University and a master's in secondary administration from Butler University, and has a doctorate in school administration and curriculum and instruction from Indiana University. Randy, it's my pleasure to welcome you in the show.
Well, Daniel, it's great to be here this evening.
So what inspired you, Randy, to pursue education, a career in education?
Well, believe it or not, when I originally went to college, I went to be a theology major, and that lasted for about a semester. And truly, I felt called to go into education. All of my background up until, you know, all 18 years there that I had, had been spent enjoying school. I was pretty good academically, and I love sports, and I really felt called to be a teacher and a coach.
Can you take us to that aha moment? Because so you're pursuing a degree in theology, the light bulb goes off, and you say, okay, I'm pursuing the wrong degree. I'm called to go into education. What was that moment where it all clicked for you?
I don't know if it was a specific moment, but it was a time during my education then, and really, I just felt a sense within me that God was saying, Randy, I've got enough ministers. I don't want you to be another minister. I want you to minister in your own way, working right with kids in the classroom. And so that's when I changed my major.
You know, I really appreciate that about you. Definitely don't want to take anything from theologians and folks, you know, pastors that go to lead churches. They're very much needed. But when young people can hear a call in our faith, right, a call from God and say, okay, I'm going to be obedient over here, and I can also serve and minister, if you will, within a different context outside of the church walls, I really appreciate that. So thank you for saying yes.
Well, you know, and I think one thing that obviously, if you look at my background and some of that Christian education, and even more so today than almost 40 years ago, whenever I went into education, there's the, you know, more and more people do homeschooling. There's charter schools. There's the parochial schools and all of those things. But my whole career in education has been spent in the traditional public schools, and that's where I really feel I need to be.
So how would you describe your leadership style, Randy, and how'd you develop this style?
It's been developed over a lot of years and in a lot of different circumstances. I guess I would describe myself as a servant leader, but you know, I really want to serve the principals that are in my district, the teachers that are in my district, indeed all the classified people that are in my district, in order for all of us to better meet the needs of the student. I think a lot of the things I have gathered have been some from a couple of really good mentor administrators that I've worked with, but maybe the best way, is the thing that really got me off on the leadership path and probably gathered me more than anything else is I was working on my master's degree as a principal. And this professor who I had that came from a vocational type background said, I want you guys to go out and do the best project that you can do to do by the end of the semester. And if you enjoy doing a book report, I want you to do the best report you've ever done in your life. And if you hate book reports, do something else. Believe it or not, I really didn't thrill at going to the library. So this was a long time ago. And I decided to interview six different people on leadership. And using an old cassette tape in that day, I interviewed two leaders from business, two leaders from government, and two school leaders. And then it also led into leading or into an interview with a seventh person that was a former governor of Indiana, a former speaker of the House, and those kind of things. But I just simply talked to those seven people on what does it take to be a good leader. And at the time, I was probably 24, 25 years old. When I set these meetings up, I was absolutely scared to death to talk to each one of them. They were a whole lot smarter than me, a whole lot more important than me, and I was scared to death, but I did it anyway. And every single one of those people welcomed me into their office and more or less said, young man, what can I do for you to give you what you need? And I've remembered those lessons all of these years and try to pay back to other leaders, whether it's people coming into my office looking for leadership tips or whether it's building administrators that I'm working with on a daily basis.
Something that I admire about you already off the bat of just getting to know you is just your desire to learn. And this goes way back to when you were doing those interviews, right, with the variety of leaders there. But even in the pre-chat, you talked about how during your commute, it's it's not long, it's not short. It gives you some time to listen to different podcasts. Honored you listened to mine. You said you learned some stuff there, but you listen to other leadership podcasts as well. A lot of folks may get to the top, to the superintendency, and feel like they made it. But your hunger for wanting to grow, to wanting to be a better leader, I can only imagine how well that serves your community. And I just want to honor that in front of the listeners right now.
Thank you.
So in terms, if you go back to when you interviewed those six or seven leaders, you said, that really impacted you. Can you remember one or two of those leadership lessons that you gained from that experience?
I will tell you the biggest one that I interviewed, and this, I couldn't even tell you all of the ways that it ended up, but the gentleman's name is Dr. Otis Bowen. He was a Speaker of the House in Indiana. He was a former governor. And I'll kind of give you maybe this is almost the Paul Harvey. I'll give you the rest of the story here in a minute. But I got set up to go talk to him, and his comment to me, and the gentleman was really a grandfather figure as I walked into his office. He was probably about 5'7", very gray haired. And he just said, gentlemen, Randy, I really don't know why you want to talk to me. I couldn't even get a bill for dog catcher through the state legislature. And I said, well, Dr. Bowen, I just have a few questions for you. And I said, what can you tell me about leadership, particularly good leadership? And he said, well, I've learned a few things over the years. And probably the two things that he told me that I still remember to this day, and almost I can hear him speaking them to me. So he said, sometimes you have a problem and you have a question to answer your problem. He said, I just draw a line down the middle of the paper and I write all of the positives on one side of the line, all of the negatives on the other side of the line. And if you have 20 reasons on one side of the line and two on the other side of the line, you really don't make a decision. The decision makes itself. And wow. I thought, how simple and how profound is that? He referred to himself as just an old country doctor that was just trying to get a diagnosis for a patient. The other thing that he told me during that interview, beyond that one, was that to be really good at the level of which he was, he said, you have to delegate. You can't do it all. And he said, sometimes you go to your staff, you go to the people working for you and say, here's the problem. I need an answer to it. And many times they will come back to you and say, here's the 15 reasons we can't do that. And you simply redirect them and you say, I just asked for one reason and one way we can do it. I don't need to know about the 15 or 20 reasons why we can't do it. I just want the one solution. And again, I thought, how simple and how profound. But the really interesting one was at this time in my career, and as I said, I was working on my master's then, this would have been, I believe, 1985. I was taking a summer class at Butler University. I did the interview, And it was about 1 week after I completed the interview with Dr. Bowen that I had, an hour's worth of cassette tape on it, that it was announced that President Ronald Reagan was nominating him for Secretary of Health and Human Services, I believe was the title. And when he was nominated, then he would not be giving any interviews until the confirmation process was completed through the Senate. And I'm sitting here thinking, I just interviewed this guy that couldn't get a bill through the legislature for an hour. Jeez. On leadership.
Yeah, right? Wow.
And I was just in awe that happened. And as I said, I valued that interview, and I remember the things that Dr. Bowen told me long, long ago.
Those are incredible stories. I really appreciate it. And last night, I actually recorded an interview with a friend, Fran McGreevy. He's been in education 42 years, learned a lot from him, and that episode will release a week or two before this one. And so this question is fresh in my mind. You brought it up in leadership lessons learned, that you got to figure out how to delegate. And so as a new principal, and what I described in this other podcast, you know, I've transitioned from Chicago to Houston, from AP to principal. It's different skill sets, different environments. In Chicago, just like everywhere else, an administrator wears many different hats. But in Chicago, that administrator does everything. There aren't a lot of people to delegate to. And, you know, I was talking to a friend today that she's AP Peyton College Prep, and just talking about how much she loves the work, but how stressful it is, you know, and it's because they have to own everything. So now I've got an incredible support team. And Randy, I need to grow and figure out how to utilize them. So what have you learned about delegation and that could just seriously help me out and the listeners? That's a skill that I'm learning. I want to put people in their strengths, but you know, I don't know a lot about delegation. I wish I knew more. And I know it's a key to my success and the school's success.
I think there's a couple steps. I think anytime, you know, and I've just been in my current superintendent position about a year and a half by the time this podcast plays. And I think the number one thing to build delegation and build leadership is first you have to build trust. And I haven't found any way of building trust other than having integrity, being honest, and time. And time is the most difficult part. I was in my previous school district, was much smaller than where I am today. I had a fantastic administrative team of simply four administrators, a secondary principal, an elementary principal, an athletic director, and an assistant principal in there. And we really clicked quickly. But when I say quickly, that took 2 years probably.
It's pretty quick.
and knowing the position I was going into now I have an administrative staff altogether with the buildings and directors and all of those things. I have about 28 people that report to me. And I knew that trust was just as important in the current situation it was then, but I also knew that it wasn't going to come quick. And I think trust is built through fires, and the delegation is built through fires. I told administrators, if I go in and everything's going great, it may be more difficult for me to gel with you and your building when things are going well. Unfortunately, sometimes the way that we learn how to trust each other is when things go wrong, and you know, my principal understands it. Hey, he's going to support me even when I mess up. Or, you know, it may be me messing up and I ask for forgiveness and we go on about it. So I think the key to delegation is building that trust. And the only way to do that is to experiment a little bit. You have to delegate some things and you have to push them. And you have to realize that sometimes they're going to mess up. Sometimes it is an administrative team. You may get five heads together and you come to a consensus of here's the right thing to do, and it may be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to have those problems. The key to that is that they know that that you have their back, that you're going to support them, that your word is true. And going on from that point, you're going to build those bonds that allows you to delegate more and more. And as a building leader, eventually you get to the point where, you know, they know, well, Daniel's gone for the next 2 days. He's at a conference, but we already know the way he would answer this because we've answered it together. So it's not something easy to get to. It takes time, but it's well worth it when you get to those points.
So I'm honored to be talking to a superintendent. Don't get to do that often on the podcast. And I'm curious, when you shifted, you know, from an administrative role from the school. And I know you were in sales as well, but then went into the superintendency. What was new about that role, maybe that you didn't expect? So it was an unexpected challenge or skill that you would have to develop and you know, utilize to be effective in your role. Does that make sense what I'm trying to ask here?
Yes. In my situation, while, as I describe it, I was in education for 14 years, I was out of education for 14 years, and now I've been in 8, and it'll be more than 14 years before I retire when it's all said and done. But when I returned to education, I didn't know exactly where I would fit. I didn't know if I would... I'd left as a high school principal. I didn't know if that's where I would get back in or whether I'd get back in as an assistant principal, assistant superintendent, superintendent, whatever my, wherever I would get. But I was extremely fortunate to become superintendent at Eastern Hancock Schools. And for me, a couple things that I had to do immediately that really struggled with is while I'd been around education the whole time, I was not in education. And so over that 14 years I was out, much of the terminology changed. I'm not sure kids had changed a lot. I'm not sure teachers had changed a lot. Unfortunately, I don't think technology had changed as much as I would like to have seen it change.
Wow.
But definitely the terminology, just whether it's the standardized test that the state was giving at the time or all of those kind of things. So it took me, it probably took me a year to really get up to speed with terminology. But the thing I had learned while I was in education before and probably solidified even more so when I was out, I knew as soon as I needed to get back in that I needed to make contacts. I called, again, I was a rookie superintendent, had been out of education. There were three superintendents that were already friends of mine that I called them and I said, hey, would you be able to sit down and meet with me? I just need to pick your brain. And all three of them said, absolutely, let's get it set up and let's do it. So it became very important for me returning there to get some contacts. So whenever I had questions, whether it's involving testing or budgets or professional development or any of those things, I could simply pick up the phone and say, hey, I need help. What would you do? And every one of them was just willing to do whatever they could to help me out.
It's so powerful to have those type of friends and peers, colleagues to ask those questions. That's something that I'm also learning to grow in, is that I don't have to do it all myself. It goes back to delegation, but also the ability to just ask for help, right? I don't know.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a pride thing. Sometimes, you know, I'm just confident that I can do it on my own. Sometimes it's just, I don't necessarily want to say a blind spot, but I get so entrenched in the work, I forget to ask for help, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'm really lucky to have a mentor right now, Lisa. She's in the district and she comes by and works with me. And she's so good at calling me, texting me, and sometimes just popping into the school and sit down and really help me think through stuff. So that's fantastic to have, you know, that kind of support around you. Randy, why did you leave sales then to come back to school leadership? I'm really curious about that.
Well, my situation, my last 2 years in sales, my daughter happened to be a junior in high school, and they needed a girls' golf coach. And the girls' golf season is relatively short, at least in Indiana. And she said, Dad, would you be willing to coach the golf team? And they couldn't find anybody else. And I said, well, you know, if they'll take me, I'll do it. So I coached her golf team her junior year and her senior year. And being around those kids again, directly working with them every day out on the golf course and those kind of things, I realized I wasn't where I needed to be at this point in my career. And I just missed the kids. I missed the teachers. I missed the administrators. I missed all of those kind of things, and I thought, I've got to find a way of getting back into education for the end of my career. And so that's what really called me back, is the kids, working with them.
Yeah, they'll always, you know, call you back. And, you know, that this is the only career that I've ever pursued so far. I seriously tell all my friends, I've always been excited to go to work. I hop out of bed. There's never a moment where I'm dragging my feet thinking, oh, I got to go to school again. It's exciting. And I can't think of any other job where you get that immediate, instant feedback that you're making a difference. And it's truly a blessing to work in education.
I agree.
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day. And that's why I created a free gift for you called the 15 questions to unlock your leadership potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word unlock now to 33444. That's unlock now to 33444. And the 15 questions to unlock your leadership potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show. So I've been going too easy on you, and I love asking, what has been your worst leadership mistake and what have you learned from it?
I probably, luckily I'm old enough, I don't remember most of the mistakes I've made.
Okay.
I will tell you, there's probably two separate incidences, and I won't get into the details necessarily, but there were two different times I can think of when I was a high school principal particularly, where there was a problem, teachers brought it to my attention, I investigated. What I would tell you now was I didn't ask all of the questions that I should have answered or that I should have asked. And ultimately, I made decisions in both cases probably about two questions short of getting the real answer. And after I made both of those decisions within the next week of making each one of them two different times, I realized you messed up on this one. And those are probably two of my bigger regrets administratively, of just making a decision too quick without asking every question to get to the bottom of the answer.
How can you guard against that then?
Try to ask every question that you possibly can. And more importantly, even ask other people, that trusted advisors, assistants, anybody else there, that when you get into new situations, ask them, say, you know, here's where I'm at. Here's the questions I've asked. Is there anything more that I need to ask? Is there another path I need to go down? Is there another thing that I need to think of? I wish I'd have done that. I don't know if I would have. I don't know if I would have came up with the additional questions then. And part of it is, I think, as leaders, part of it is making mistakes. I think that not asking the questions then, as I reflected back on it, going to future problems, I was looking for what's the one more question I need to ask to get to the bottom of the situation. And I think I've done a better job of that after those times. But no question, going back, I made the mistakes at the time.
I like what you said there, too. Again, it's going back to the trusted advisors, colleagues, friends, and saying, here's the situation. Here's what I've done. Here's what I've asked. You know, can you help me think through any other questions that I need to ask to fully investigate this matter, or, you know, just fully engage in it at a high level? And that's awesome. That's a really great tip for the listeners. Randy, can you think of one class that we should add to our schools right now that isn't currently taught that you know of?
I will tell you, I've been thinking on this probably since the first time I heard you ask it on a podcast.
Good.
Whenever that was. And I'm not sure I've got a better answer today than I did then, because I'm sure bits and pieces of what I would like to see in a class is probably done somewhere. But I am one of those that my life, I've been very fortunate to have grown up with good people skills. I have two adult children now that I think they have pretty good people skills. And somewhere, I don't know if it's even in a speech class, a communications class, may be able to get this, but I think we need to teach students today how to truly communicate well, because it doesn't matter if you're going to be a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, a car mechanic, a street sweeper, whatever it is, if you can communicate well with people, you can be successful. And likewise, you can be as bright and intelligent and everything else, and if you can't communicate, you're probably going to be a failure. So I don't know how you bring all of those leadership skills into one class. I would look at it studying some of the leaders in our society, evaluating them. I think we're getting better at it with technology, but teaching the students today that just texting isn't good enough, just email isn't good enough.
Right.
You need to verbally be able to communicate. You need to video, you know, communicate. There's a wide range of ways of communicating, and if we can teach kids that skill, they can be successful in whatever profession or job they go into.
Knowing what you know now, Randy, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
A couple of things. One, this is advice I received from a principal. Whenever I got my first principal position, there was a principal in an adjoining school district that he had been my superintendent, actually, when I was a student in school. He'd known me probably since second grade, and I called him up and said, would you be willing to meet with me? And he said, yes. And The one thing I learned from him, and I would tell myself today if I didn't have somebody like him, and he said, Randy, you need to understand whatever decisions you make, whatever you do, when you're in a leadership position, people are not always going to be happy. And when they're not happy, or when they are happy, they're only talking to the chair. Don't take it personal. And you've got to go on knowing you've done the best thing that you can with the position. So I think that really ties two things in. I would tell myself, don't take it personal. And number two, I would again reemphasize that for a young administrator, find some mentors. Find, it can be somebody that you've been in class with. It can be the principal next door. It can be the principal at a rival school that, you know, you want to beat them up when you play them on the football field. But when we're dealing with kids, we all want to be on the same team. And find those mentors that you can trust in and really pick their brain, because if you can learn from their mistakes, you're going to save yourself one or two stubbed toes and all that in the process.
Absolutely. How do you want to be remembered as a leader, Randy?
I think it goes to my whole career. Whenever I went into education, I wanted to make a difference with kids. When I became an administrator, I knew I wasn't going to have the same context or the same close relationship with individual students that I had as a teacher, but I wanted to make a difference with a larger group of kids. Whenever I left education, I actually went into selling technology at that time, and I thought I could make a difference in education across multiple school districts, bringing in this technology to the school. But now, as I've returned as a superintendent, I would like to be remembered as somebody that made a difference with the kids in my school district, and that's with every kid. I don't care whether the kid's at the bottom of the class, the top of the class, the richest kid, the poorest kid, where they come from. I want to make a positive difference with every kid in my school district. And while they may never know that a decision came from the superintendent, I'm good with that. Just knowing that maybe I can cut through some of the clutter or cut through some of the education ease that we have to go through to make it easier for the principal and ultimately the teacher to make a difference with that kid. That's what I want to be remembered for, that I made a difference with the lives of students.
What would you consider, Randy, a book that every principal should read right now, and why?
I wrote down a list of about 8 books.
Okay.
I don't know which one's the best. I think the thing in my career that I've looked at is, while I keep up on the educational, the latest trends and all of that through a number of professional organizations, going back to my early days with leadership, I've always read books in the business world and the self-help, but I think that the book, if I had to pick one that I've read in the last couple of 3 years, probably it would be Drive by Daniel Pink. Just thinking of how we motivate people today, whether it's motivate the students, motivate the teachers, or sometimes motivate myself, he really makes you think in a different way.
I'm a huge, huge fan of Daniel Pink, and read a number of his books, so that'll be linked up for the listeners for sure. If you haven't read Drive yet, definitely pick it up.
Let me give you one more that, as I was looking through the stuff I read, and you've probably read this one too, because I know this is another one, big one on your list, and he's actually on my podcast list. But another book from outside, a different way of looking at things, Axiom by Bill Hybels. A lot of leadership tips does Bill Hybels put into that one little book. Love that book also.
Yeah, definitely. That was my old pastor. So since I moved, I'm looking for a new church. But yeah, I've read his books and big fan. And I've talked about this before on the show, but if the listeners or you haven't ever been to a global leadership summit, that occurs every August. And you can just Google the Willow Global Leadership Summit. I've written about it too on the blog. But that's a hard-hitting 2-day event where, honestly, you will come away challenged and running back to your organization with ideas on how to improve it. It's always been a great investment of my time. And I love the quote that Bill is known for, that everybody wins when a leader gets better.
Absolutely.
So this is an easy question. Well, maybe an easy question. Randy, what do you do for fun?
I have a 5-year-old grandson. So play with my grandson. Also, I do enjoy, I'm getting back into running. I usually run in the morning in the dark, and I try to walk in the evenings if I get the time. I don't always make it in the evenings, but I make sure I get up early in the morning and get some physical fitness in. So that's probably the main thing that does that, but just being around my kids and family, and especially that grandson.
Are you training for any type of race or DM mileage goals, or is it just for overall fitness?
Right now, it's just for overall fitness. Long ago, I ran a couple of marathons, but that was 30 years ago. And I think my son and daughter-in-law may push me into maybe running a 10K or maybe a half marathon sometime soon, but I'm not up to that kind of running yet.
It's okay. I've done a number of marathons, and I remember them as painful too, and I'm just a year out. So this year I cut back a little bit, and as this releases in about 2 months in February, I'll be running the Galveston Half Marathon, and that'll be kind of fun because we'll be on the Gulf. I guess there's some really neat area called the Seawall, and the weather is just going to be beautiful in February in Texas.
You think that beats Chicago in February?
A little bit, just a little. You know, I've already started texting friends, so this is released in December, so sorry to the Midwest listeners that are freezing right now, but I've already started texting my friends and being a little bit annoying because we're recording. It's early October, and it's, you know, it's 88, 89 in Texas, and I'm looking at Chicago's weather. It's like 56, you know, overcast. Poor guys. So I definitely upgraded on the weather for sure.
I think so.
Randy, if you could put a message on all school marquees across our nation for one day, what would it say?
I'm not sure exactly what I'd put in there. This one I haven't thought of. Maybe something to the effect of make a difference, love our students.
That's great. Love it. Love it. Last question, Randy. You made it. You've been a fantastic guest, and thank you for sharing all your insights. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or any type of resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
This one I have thought about, and it goes back to something I thought we would be at. I thought technology would get us there a long time ago, but the first two are people. I want to be able to hire the best administrative team that has skill, passion, and a love and concern for every kid that they have. I want to hire the best teachers with the teaching skills and passion to make a difference with kids. And the third part of it is I want to create a school using technology, but where we create, and some people listening to this outside of education wouldn't know this, but I want to create an IEP or an individualized education plan for every single student in there, not just the special ed students. But I think that every kid, with the technology that we have today, we should be able to create an individual learning plan for each and every student.
Randy, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
I don't have any words of wisdom or anything left. I think you've taken all of them out of me, Daniel, but I really appreciate the opportunity to be on here. I don't have any special website or any of those kind of things yet. I'm still working to get there. The best way to get a hold of me is through Huntington County Schools in Huntington, Indiana. I look forward to hearing from anybody, but just email me at rharris@hccsc.k12.in.us. That's my email address at school, and I'd look forward to communicating with anybody that picked up anything from this or anything else they could share with me to help me be a better leader.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Randy. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Randy in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Randy, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge 10 bucks a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.